gather ye friends around your flickering campfires and listen to tales of daring, horror, and high adventure from the worn pages of history. Though actually this week, it's more like the worn pages of someone from history. Ah.
That's right. This week, we shall regale you with a story written by an author from history times.
But who could it be? It's not Christmas, so Charles Dickens and Christmas Carol are out. I mean, it's inevitable that we'll end up doing it, but even we would do it at the right time of year.
Oh my goodness, we're doing Jane Austen, aren't we? I'll start practicing my Mr. Darcy.
Hello, Uncle Bob. I'm Mr. Darcy. Fancy a snog?
And to leave my reputation in tatters? How would I ever find a good husband, you beast?
Ow! No, we're not doing Jane Austen. There's nowhere near enough sword fights. And before we get into who we are doing, who are we? And what will our books be called when we write them?
I am Uncle Bilbo, and my book will be the tale of one young man's brutal upbringing on the streets of a northern city. From humble beginnings as a son of a whippet salesman, through to his death from a tragic gravy accident, it's a no-all-bard expose on life in Yorkshire. It will be called Life Leads Where It May. But the Leeds is spelt like Leeds, not Leeds. I mean, it doesn't work in an audio format.
I am the fourth attempt driving test passee and Horus Heresy addict known only as the Pear Bear. I plan to write an epic fantasy space opera called Sword Wars, in which a young man learns it is his destiny to get a sword and have some wars.
Is that it? It doesn't sound like you've planned it very much at all.
That's because I haven't. I've decided to go the way of George R.R. Martin and make it up as I'm going along, meaning, like him, I'll probably never finish. Sad.
I am Tombo. My book would be called Tombo Behind the Fool. It's a 173-page photo book of me dressed as a fool, shot exclusively from backstage at a variety of locations mid-performance. You are literally behind the fool. Get it?
Oh, yeah. Very good, very good. I am your dear Uncle Bob, and my book, Bob Bob's Guide to All Things Bob, will be an examination of exactly what makes a Bob, a Bob. Dare you climb inside my mind, dear listener? Are you brave enough to face what's in there? It's warm. There's cushions, but wait, what's that smell? Why, it's
the Silly History Boys Show!
So now we've got the introductions out of the way, we can tell you who our historical storyteller is and what story we're doing. It's
Robinson Crusoe! Its author, Daniel Defoe, is accredited as the father of the British novel. Minty biscuit alert!
Nice tidbit, Bilbo. And to be fair, Daniel Defoe was such a character that he could probably fill an episode by himself, let alone all his stories. But no, he is not the author of this week's tale. That honour goes to the big man, Geoffrey Chaucer.
I'm not 100% convinced that the big man was his usual sobriquet.
Well, if you're talking literature and the English language, then it might as well be.
Over 2,000 words in the English language first appear in writing in Chaucer's 14th century works.
Words like what?
Poop.
Seriously?
Yes, and seriously.
Outrageous.
Yes, outrageous is in there as well.
Is this all pertinent information?
It is, especially because pertinent and information are in there too.
Let's stop this here before it turns into the rest of the episode and get on with our story, shall we?
This week, we're having a look at what is probably Chaucer's most famous work. The Canterbury Tales.
Which is a collection of lots of different stories told by a variety of characters written sometime after 1373. And what we're actually doing is having a look at one of those Canterbury Tales. But which one?
The Knight's Tale. Dear listener, we will rock you.
The Miller's Tale? That's quite a famous one. Billy Piper was in the Beebs adaptation. You remember Billy Piper, kids?
Neither. This week, we're doing the... Who's that?
I'll go find out. Hello?
Excuse me, sirs. Do you have 2 minutes to talk about your eternal soul?
No, not really, mate. We're in the middle of doing a podcasty radio show thing.
Are you? Well, I'd best come in then.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. Oh, you've just pushed past me.
Gentlemen,
What would you say if I told you that I could guarantee your entry into heaven?
I'd say, who are you and why are you in the Silly History House?
And I'd say that surely everyone's idea of heaven is different, and with it, in that sense, being entirely subjective, how can you guarantee entry for every version of every heaven?
What?
Who are you and why are you in the Silly History House?
Oh, Silly History Boys, today is your lucky day. For I am a professional preacher and pardoner, and I'm here to preach at you and pardon all your sins for bargain prices.
Oh, I do love a bargain.
Me too.
Me three. But what kind of sins do you pardon, Mr. Pardoner?
All the big ones.
Murder?
Have you done any murdering?
The pronunciation of the name Ptolemy. He murdered that pretty good. Am I right?
Shut up, Pear Bear.
You shut up.
Right, give me that £9 you owe me immediately.
No, stop being such a money grubber.
Money grubbing? Why, that's avarice. A sin I can pardon you for.
How much does it cost?
It costs loads. Which is great, because making money is my favourite thing to do in the whole world, which, in turn, is the very definition of avarice. Ironic, no?
But I thought you were in the business of saving souls.
What? No, I'm in the business of making money. It just so happens that the money I'm making goes towards the saving of souls. I don't really care what happens, just as long as I end up rolling in fat wads of delicious dollar. Ooh, I love me some money, I do. Avarice, baby.
What other sins are there, then?
There's Pear Bear's favourite activity.
That's not a sin! It's perfectly natural!
Drinking to excess is perfectly natural.
Oh, yes! That's what I was talking about. Very natural.
You'll definitely be wanting a pardon then.
Yes, please.
And it sounds like you all could do with a bit of preaching.
Preaching about what?
Avaritia est radix omnium malorum.
What?
Greed is the root of all evil. It's what I preach about. It's the only thing that I preach about.
But you just said making money is your favourite thing to do in the whole world. You can't go around telling people not to be greedy whilst at the same time being massively greedy.
I know, right? It's almost like I'm a biting comment on the hypocrisy of the church in the 14th century or something. Hey, do you want to see a relic?
A relic? What, like the bone of a saint kind of relic?
Similar, yes. I got a piece of wood here that will cure the plague.
All right, I'll bite. Go on then.
Here it is. Just touch it and the plague will be gone.
Yeah, but none of us have the plague.
Oh my goodness, it's already worked. You're cured. Miraculous.
That is so obviously fake.
Yes. Completely fake.
Don't even try and argue. Oh, you didn't.
What's the point in arguing? You're absolutely right. All of my relics are fake.
Don't people figure out that you're lying to them?
People don't care. And they still give me all of their money anyway. After all, as far as they're concerned, I'm saving their souls. It truly is an excellent business model.
I think you might be a bad man.
Oh, Lord, yes. I'm awful. But not as awful as three young men I should like to tell you about. Come gather ye friends around your flickering campfires and listen to tales of daring, horror, and high adventure from the worn pages of Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. Set aside your actual history and instead resort to using another man's fiction as the focus of your show. Once upon a time in what is now Belgium, there were three friends. And they were terrible people. The kind of people who get drunk all the time. But worse than that, they swore all the time too.
Oi, waiter, get over here and bring me a bleeping beer or I'll bleep you right in your bleep.
Watch your bleeping language, Bill Bolio, you terrible bleep. If the waiter refuses to serve us, how am I going to get drunk enough to put up with you two bleeps all day?
Put up with us! Bleep you! I had to pre-drink knowing that I'd be spending my day with you, pair of fair. That's how awful you are. Now give me that bleeping 9 florins what you do owe me.
9 florins? Not on your bleeping Nelly, Bobbert von Bob Bob. What do you say to that?
Bleep. That's what I say.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, isn't this blippin' nice, chaps? It's the 14th century, and we're in a tavern, and we're having a good old drink and a swear. Blip me up, but I do love drinking and swearing.
On that, we can blippin' agree, Bill Polio. Drinking and swearing is just the best.
Even if it's with you, pair of blips.
There's only one thing that'll make this even better. Some gambling.
Oh, lovely gambling.
Love gambling.
Love a game of chess.
Oh, yes, dear listener. I forgot to mention, not only do these terrible, terrible men enjoy getting drunk and swearing, two of the worst sins you could possibly do, they also really enjoyed another sin. Gambling.
Oi, waiter. Who are you even talking to?
Are you talking to me? I'm not the waiter, I'm the narrator.
He's a blipping poet and he didn't know it! Way!
Ugh, you three really are awful.
Too blipping right we are. Now where's the nearest gambling den? We want to risk all our money on games of blipping chance, we do.
We also want a blipping another beer.
It was then that the three heard the mournful tolling of a funeral bell.
Hey, pair of bear. Robert, look, a funeral.
Ugh, who's died now?
Well, seeing as we're in 14th century Belgium and we're in the grips of the plague, it could be b***ing anyone, couldn't it?
You, servant.
I'm not the servant, I'm the narrator.
Whatevs. Go find out who's died. We'll wait here. Also, get us those b***ing beers, will you?
I don't need to find out. I know who's died. So do you, actually.
Who is it, then?
That is the funeral procession of the man you once knew as Ye Olde Tombo.
Not Ye Olde Tombo! He was the least hateable of all of us! It's not saying much, but still.
Still a bit of a b***h, though.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt, but after myself, he is the one of us that I least wanted to die.
What killed him? Was it the plague?
It was not. They say that he was killed by death. Death stabbed him in the back.
No.
I had a cousin that was killed by death, you know, yeah. Death and the 3 ton of manure he drowned in, but mainly death.
Death made my uncle's head fall off at his execution.
My great aunt was trampled to death by a herd of death and cows.
Lads, I think we need to do something about this death character.
Bill Polio, you crazy blipper. I think you're right. Down with death!
Yeah, let's blip death's blip.
Yeah, let's blippin' do it. Huzzah!
And so our heroes set forth on their quest to kill death. Not knowing where to start and being quite drunk, they simply picked a direction and started walking. Soon they passed out of the town's walls, and not long after that they found themselves in the lovely Flemish countryside.
Have we found him yet?
It blippin' look like we found him.
We'll know when we found him, don't you worry.
Is that him?
Who?
That sad old man standing in the road.
No, Perith there. That is, as you can clearly see, just a sad old man standing in the road.
Why is he so sad, though? Oi, old man, why are you so sad?
Who? Me?
You see any other sad old men standing round? Of course you!
Why am I so sad, you ask? Well, therein lies a tale, gentlemen. You see, my sadness stems from my age. I am, as you have noticed, very, very old. So old, in fact, that I'm quite bored with being alive now and wish only for the sweet eternal rest of the grave.
The what?
The death. I wish that death would take me, but he said he won't. I'm cursed, you see. I cannot die until I find someone willing to exchange their youth for my old age. Do any of you fancy it, by the way? You know, swapping your youth for my old age?
No, I'm all right, thanks.
Stupid.
Oh, well. Looks like I am never going to die. Stupid death thinks he's so much better than me.
Hang about. Wait. Have you seen death recently?
Yes, he's just down the road. You'll find him under the tree at the end of this lane. But I warn you, though, good my
friend. Shut up, old man. Let's go, boys. I'm going to rip death a new blip.
Oh, yes, let's kick him in the bum. Take no prisoners.
And with that, the three set off toward the end of the lane. It did not take them long to find the tree that the old man had told them about.
But when they found it, they did not see death.
That blipping old man lied to us. Death's not here at all.
Son of a bleep! Now what are we gonna do?
We're gonna find that old bleep, and I'm gonna take a bleep and bleep it up his bleeping bleep. That's what we're gonna bleeping do.
Before we do though, look, there, under tree. What is it?
That looks like bags of summit.
It just leaves bags lying around. What's in them?
Let's find out. Hey, maybe it's wine.
Is it wine?
It's gold.
Gold?
Holy moly. That is a bleep ton of gold.
8 bags stuffed to the brim with bleeping golden coins? There must be bleeping pheasants.
We are so rich, you.
So rich.
What are we waiting for? Fill up your pockets, chaps. We can head back to town, buy all of the wine, and then... we can drink it.
Hey, we can do better than that. We can buy the pub the wine is in.
We can do better than that. We can buy the street the pub is on.
We can buy a street each. Won't everyone be surprised? We'll show them all. They can bow and scrape to us for a b***ing change.
Oh, no, wait, hang on. We can't take the money back to town.
What do you mean? Of course we can.
We can't. I mean, look at us. We do not look like people who have lots of money.
Speak for yourself. I, for one, look very civilized.
You're wearing a sack.
Yeah, but the bit of string that I've used as a belt takes it beyond a simple sack, though.
No, it doesn't.
What I'm trying to say is that if people see us with all this gold, they're going to think we've stolen it and throw us in prison.
But we are stealing it, though.
No, we're not. Someone clearly decided they no longer wanted their 8 bags stuffed to the brim with golden coins and discarded them here. This is fly tipping. Yeah, that's what it is. This is the most legitimate case of finders bleeping keepers, whatever there did be.
So it's kind of honestly ours, and they can't throw us in prison.
They can and they will. The guards at city gates will confiscate it off us and throw us in jail before we even have the chance to spend a single coin. No way are we getting that gold into town.
Not in daylight, anyway.
What?
I'm a bleeping genius. We wait till it's dark, then we sneak the gold into town. No one will see the big bags, no guards will confiscate them. It's perfect.
So all we have to do is wait until it's dark.
Brilliant. Let the waiting begin. Well, I'm bored. What time is it?
It's just before noon.
Oh, it's not going to be dark for ages. We need to find a way to pass time.
I spy with my little eye something beginning with G.
Gold.
Well played, well played. All right. I spy with my little eye something beginning with B.
Bag of gold.
Wow, you are good at this.
A picnic. That's what we need. Hey, one of us should go back to town, get a cart, wine and food, and then come back. Other two will guard the gold.
And how will we decide who goes and who stays?
Dance off!
We draw straws. Short straw is the loser.
You're both losers in the face of my moves!
Once they managed to stop Pair of Bear's hypnotic jiggling, our heroes took their turn, drawing straws. Bobbert von Bob-Bob, the youngest of the three, ended up with a drawing that looked more like a worm than a straw, and so was declared the loser. Grumbling and bleeping under his breath, he started to trudge back to town, leaving Peredith Bear and Bilbolio with the gold.
So, are we still hunting death to kill him and avenge your Tombo?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure, actually. Got a bit distracted with the gold, do we?
True. And it's not like death's going anywhere. We can find him once we've stashed gold.
Exactly. Ye oldie Tombo will be avenged. At some point.
Oh, he'd have wanted us to be super rich anyway. Yeah? I'll remember him fondly when I'm lying on my 14th century yacht equivalent.
So how much gold have we actually got, anyway? Each, I mean.
Let's think. There's 8 bags and 3 of us.
8 divided by 3? That's an impossible sum.
2 and a bit bags each.
Well, yeah, but I'll tell you what's an easier sum.
What?
8 divided by 2.
But there's 3 of us.
Yeah, I know that. But 8 divided by
2.
Is 4.
Exactly. So we're agreed. We wait for Bobbert to return, and then we kill him and take his share of the gold.
Wait, what?
4 sacks of gold each. We are so rich.
We can't just kill him. That's murder.
So? It's okay if it's for money you found under a tree.
Is it?
Yeah, probably. Look, Bilbolio, do you really want to sit down and do slightly harder maths for less money when you could do easier maths and get more money?
Well, I do prefer easier sums.
And all it'll take is a little bit of friend murdering. How can you say no?
Bobbert would agree if he were here, I reckon.
Tell you what, we'll ask him afterwards.
Meanwhile, blissfully unaware that his friends were plotting his murder, young Bobbert von Bob had reached the town. He hired a cart, bought wine and bread, and then decided to visit one final shop before heading back to the tree.
Is this the apothecary?
Why, yes, young master. What can I get for you?
Well, Mr. Apothecary, I was wondering if you could answer me a question.
Of course, sir. I'll endeavour to do my best.
I had a fair amount of time to think whilst I made my way to town, and my mind has been wandering at a number puzzle.
That puzzle being?
What is 8 divided by 3?
'Tis 2 and a bit, my lord.
Ah, you are correct, my dear apothecary. But now I find myself wondering if the sum of 8 divided by 1 might not bring a more satisfying answer.
You're a cryptic fellow, sir, but I like you. Did you want anything from my apothecary shop, sir, or are you just here to chat simple division?
Forgive me. Yes, of course. I'd like something. 2 things, in fact. 2 of your strongest bottles of rat poison, please.
Rat poison, sir? Oh, I don't envy you having rats. Lord, especially in these plague-ridden times.
Oh, yes. And my rats are b***ing huge.
Biggins, eh? Oh, I've seen some as big as cats, I have.
These ones are bigger. A lot bigger.
Really? How much bigger?
Human-sized.
Human-sized? Human-sized rats? But that's not a thing.
Fine. Human-sized humans.
Human-sized humans? Are you trying to tell me you're trying to poison actual people with the rat poison?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you say so in the first place? No, you don't want rat poison, do you? No, you want people poison.
Oh, right. 2 vials of people poison, please.
Of course. You're only buying it for self-defence, aren't you? You know, home invasions and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Self-defence poison. That's
right. Wonderful. No need for a background check or to make you wait 2 days for it, then. Here you go.
How quick is it?
Quick enough that you won't feel bad, but slow enough that they'll know they've been poisoned.
Time for me to monologue if I need to?
Quick one, yeah.
Bleeding superb.
Pleasure doing business.
Yeah, whatever, mate, bye.
Poison was applied to 2 of the 3 wine bottles Bobbert von Bob had bought, and then, upon the new horse and cart, he made his way back to his friends.
One horse and cart, you bleepers!
Took you long enough!
Yeah. Now, where's that delicious wine?
It's right here, Bilbolio. Help yourself.
I want wine! Gimme!
Don't snatch!
Oh, that's the good bleep.
Ah, wine-tastic!
8 divided by 1.
Right, we've had wine.
So now the next step is...
Get him!
Get off me! What are you doing with him? Ow! 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 You've got me murdering! Stop my saber all over again!
Hooray!
8 divided by 2.
Best sum ever!
This money is going to turn my life around. You'll see. I'm going to show this world a thing or two.
Bilbolio, what on earth is wrong? Why is your face turning purple? No. Hang on a minute. I don't feel so...
Listen to this, Elias, you watch.
And so you see, the old man was right.
What old man?
The old man on the road.
Oh, yeah.
And so you see, the old man was right. They did find death under that tree.
Oh, the money!
Radix malorum est cupiditas. Greed is the root of all evil.
Wow, Mr. Stranger who pushed himself into our house. That was a great story. I've learned a lot.
Perhaps you would like to buy a relic, then? This is a piece of St. Jeff of Spixworth.
Ew, that's a finger.
Yes. It is said that if you spend all day with the finger of St. Jeff of Spixworth up your nose, you'll get loads of lovely money.
Sold! There you go. Hi! Wow! Smells like crackling.
Well, I'd best be on my way. Preaching to do, pardons to give.
Bye, Mr. Pardoner!
Thanks, Mr. Pardoner.
Farewell, silly boys.
Well, wasn't he nice?
Well, I don't know. Kind of felt like he was casing the place the entire time he was telling his story.
Right then, are we ready to do our history story?
Tombo, where have you been?
You've missed the entire episode.
Have I? What story did you end up doing then?
Chaucer's The Pardoner's Tale. You know, from the Canterbury Tales.
Really? I do a mean one-man version of that, I do.
And I'm sure if you had been here, you would have had plenty of chances to tell us all about it.
But you weren't.
Sad.
And so, dear listener, we have reached the end of another episode of...
The Silly History Boys Show!
A little shorter than usual this week. And for that...
And for everything else...
We are...
As ever...
Sorry!
Episode 44, or Radish Mail Order 8 Cupid's Hat. What, you never heard a guy speak Latin before? Or The Pardoner's Tale. Was written, produced, edited, and performed by the Silly History Boys. The part of Pereth Bear was gobbled down by the medieval porcine daddy that is Stew the Pear Bear Perry. Bobbert von Bob Bob was coveted by the shadow-hugging Robert Uncle Bob Bob Bond. Bilbolio was dropped, popped and docked by the energetic and overly touchy-feely Will Uncle Bilbo Tristram, and having such a lovely time that it should be considered a sin, as the pardoner, the old man, the apothecary and the narrator who is not a waiter was covered up, bought off and generally talked about in hushed tones by Tom Tombo Furmore. Please do rate and review on your chosen podcast platform. Follow us on Facebook at Silly History Boys or on Twitter at SHB_show. Keep an eye out for announcements for Silly History Boys Live coming soon. Sound effects and music by those wonderful creatures. Whoa, I just want to lick them all over. Those wonderful creatures at zapsplat.com. No, calm yourself, Bilbo. Free rehab on us for Lord Fastfingers for writing the intro music. And just know, listener, whatever you do in the comfort of your own home or in the vegetable aisle of the supermarket or even in the car park of the supermarket, it's okay by us and we love you for it anyway. Goodbye. Call me.
Give me some more poisoning sounds.
And that is how Uncle Bob Bob pronounces Ptolemy.